There is no one individual who has poured into my life more and has been more responsible for what the Lord has done here at Harvest Time over the last few years than this man. He's my father in the Lord. He's my good friend. And it is just such a great joy to have him with us. Yanni's going to come and minister to us this evening. At the end of his time of ministry this evening, we're going to have an opportunity to bless him and to sow into his ministry. He's leaving early tomorrow morning, going back to Thailand, back to Sarah and his daughter Nora there. And, you know, he's our last stop. He's been here for several weeks in North America, and this is his last stop before he goes home. And I want him to leave here tonight with the biggest blessing that he's received anywhere through this whole trip. And so at the end of the time of ministry, we're going to receive an offering. If you're making a check, you can make that out to Harvest Time Church. We're going to put it all together, and we're actually going to send him with a big wad of cash tomorrow to get on the airplane. So when it comes time to give, if you're making a check, you get into Harvest Time. We also have offering envelopes that you can use a debit card or a credit card to make an offering, and we'll have some ushers pass those out a little bit later. But I want you to put your hands together. I want you to give honor to my dear friend and this great man of God, Pastor Yun Nell.
Thank you. I'm just going to look at you a little bit, I think. Who's never heard me? I'm sorry about that. That's really good. Praise God. We're going to have a great time tonight. Listen. If you've been around me, you know that just is never going to work. We're going to have a good time tonight, amen? Yes. When I was praying for the meeting, the Lord showed me a picture of waves. Waves. I've never seen air create a wave, but I saw waves just coming over you. So I'm really excited for that. I want to know what it looks like. Last time I saw something like that, I was ministering to about 400 people in Africa. And as I was preaching, I finished and said, God's going to move. And he flattened the hall. 400 people were down. And when he finished the wave that way, he came this way. And people started to get delivered of things that were holding them. And people were screaming. Demons were coming out all over the place. It was a fantastic night. And I didn't have to do a thing. God did it all. You think God's that strong? That's what I like. There's a kid that said amen. Good. We're always supposed to look for God to show up. We've always supposed to look for God to show up. There's no point in coming to the house of God just to hear people speak. If God doesn't touch us, if God doesn't change us, if God doesn't meet us, we don't want to do to church, guys. We want to see God. And he's the same all the time. You know, when I started out in ministry 31 years ago, I started out and I thought, I wonder how long this power is going to last. 31 years later, it's getting better and better. God's the same, man, all the time. What he's looking for is hungry, expectant, desperate people that are going to say, nothing less, Lord, than your best. Nothing less than your best. So what did you come expecting tonight? What did you expect the Lord to do for you tonight? Because according to your expectation is what you're going to get. So if you thought it's just another evening, then it'll be another evening. If you have not specifically got something within your heart that you believe in God to accomplish, because faith sees something. Faith is not faith unless it has a product at the end of it. And so tonight we need to believe for something really, really important. The word is going to really touch us anyway, but we're looking for God to show up while we're ministering. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to speak to you on a subject that God gave me a little while ago, and I feel has asked me to deliver it to the church in America. We've enjoyed so much blessing in the Western world. Where I come from, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, we've lived a really, really blessed life. America, you are so rich. You are so rich. I asked a little while ago, I asked the congregation, I should have thought a bit further. I said, so how many of you can remember never having food on the table? And nobody raised their hands. And I went, did you understand my question, guys? And then I realized nobody had ever not had food on their table because of poverty. Nobody knew what I was talking about. That is big. That is big. The fact that you've always got a bed to sleep in and you've always got food on your table is massive. But I'm concerned that we're going to face times, and will as Christians face times of tremendous shaking. Don't get depressed yet, okay? We're going to face times that require characteristics of strength, characteristics of having met God and being changed. Just before Joshua went into the promised land, the Lord spoke to him through Moses, and he said, be strong and courageous. What lies ahead, I have to say to you, requires that you and I become strong and courageous. We've got to have something within us that overcomes this world. The word is clear. We have been given a position of conquering. We have been given a position of breakthrough. We have been given a position of being victorious. That's our position in Christ. We are more than conquerors. Amen? The word is clear on that. But as I've observed Christians over the years, they don't overcome. Many don't conquer. Many have to go around the mountain again because they never beat the devil at that level. They're still battling with things that hold them, limit them. It's like there's a barrier. They can only go so far. They can't go into the calling and the purposes of God for their lives because there are things that hold them. And so what I felt the Lord say to teach is this concept of living with an operating system within us that is so powerful that no matter what comes at us, it doesn't move us. The operating system that I'm talking about is what's called the operating system of peace. Jesus, at the last days before he was, sorry, the last night before he was crucified, spoke to the disciples, and he spoke to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He spent a lot of time in John 14 and John 16 speaking to them about the fact that if I don't go, the Helper won't come. And right in the middle of that discourse, he drops this. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. My peace I give to you. Now, I want you for a moment to think about that. That means you don't have to do anything to get it. He's giving it to you. It's available. You understand? You can live in that peace. But that peace, you can choose. You can either live out of that peace or you can live out of another type of peace, which is the peace of the world. The peace of the world, I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is a peace that really just depends on my circumstances. It depends on my thinking and it depends on my emotions. So it's a peace that is governed by what I feel or think. Behind every circumstance is a voice. Opposing circumstance. Behind everything that opposes us, there is a voice. Something opposes you, you're trying to get where God has called you to. This thing keeps opposing you and it keeps talking to you. It says, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get through. You're not going to last. You're going to fall. You're going to die early. These things speak to you. That's why it's so important in Romans chapter 8 verse 30. It says, what then shall we say to these things? You've got to say something to those things which are saying something to you. You've got to have something in your mouth that is ahead of what the enemy's planning. If you do not know what the promise is, you'll never last. You have to be able to speak back. If God is for us, who can be against us? You've got to be able to speak. You've got to be able to say, when it looks like everything looks like it's not going to work. I was talking to folk the other day. For 22 years, I was in a church environment. And you name it, it went wrong in that church. 22 years. I never, ever saw great success in that church. I tried everything I knew. Everything I knew. That place nearly killed me. 22 years. Every year, I had to talk to it. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, you use the prophecies made over you to fight the good warfare, Timothy. You got to take your prophecy and God said, I'm doing this. Doesn't matter what you say, God said, I'm doing this. Doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what my limitations are, I'm going to get to the other side. I'm going to get to where God wants me to go. But it takes an inner position that you and I have received from the Lord, a supernatural transaction. Not as the world. The world cannot have this peace. This is reserved for His children. It's a piece that He wants to plug into you. I used to work in computers, and in the computer world, they had what was, in my day, there was DOS. Many of you will remember DOS, the disk operating system. The operating system determined what the results would be out of the computer, determined what would go on the computer. And it's the same with peace. Peace is like an operating system that keeps you in a place of victory, keeps you in a place where you're unmoved by what you see. And I want to tell you, if we do not learn to live out of this, please hear me. I'm talking to you prophetically. If we do not learn to live out of this when the days are good, what are you going to do when the storm hits? You say, well, hold on, Yanni, that's a bit of a negative confession. Well, then you better tell Jesus that. Because He says in Matthew chapter 7, there was those that built their house on the sand and those that built their house on the rock. And not if the storms come, but when the storms come. Storms are a part of your walk. Get used to it. They make you tough. You'll never get tough by sitting with the TV. You will never get tough like that. You've got to get out and fight the wars and overcome them. You've got to make up your mind. You will not back off. The Bible tells us that we have a choice. We can become various types of people. But in Hebrews, the writer says, we are not of those that draw back. We are not of the, I'm not of those that draw back. How about you? I don't draw back. I'm laughing because I was teaching in Illinois at a man called Chris Bird's church. It's a private joke, don't worry about it. I was teaching at the church and I said, I've trained many, many men and women into the ministry, but what I do is I look for people that are tough. I said, in fact, the only way you're ever going to get me to train you is you've got to beat me in arm wrestling. I'm just joking, you know. So, end of the meeting comes, here comes this solid Marine. He picks up a table, he puts it in front of me. He says, Pastor, I've come to see whether I can be one of your men. I said, you can't. He said, why? I said, because you're thick. I didn't ask you. I'll invite you to be one of my leaders if I saw something in you. I never invited you. You assume I want you because you think you're better than others. He said, I just want to arm wrestle you. I said, you see, that's your problem. You focused on the wrong thing. So he begs me. He says, please just arm wrestle me. I said, I'm going to embarrass you, buddy. You really want to arm wrestle me? He said, please, Pastor. So he's obviously like Marine champion, you know. So we sit down, put my arm out. He puts his out. I go, quah! He goes, that's not fair. I said, what's not fair? He said, you didn't tell me you're going to start. I said, see, you're never going to be one of my guys. You're never ready. Number one, you assume you're good. Number two, you're never ready. Please, please, let's just do it again. Please, let's do it again. So, okay, we do it again. So, man, I start and I just feel like, shoo, this is like power, man. It's got, it's like, so, you know, you don't show anything. So, I think there's only one way to beat this guy. It's like, he's got to, you know, you've got to catch him. So, I look down and I point at our elbows. So he looks down and I went, bah! He jumps up. He says, that's not fair, that's not fair. I said, I've beaten you 3 times. Enough, I don't want any more. Thank you. You've got to be tough. I'm telling you, for nothing, you're going to have to be tough. But you can't be tough out of your own decision making. There's a place of strength that comes from peace. Peace is a strength. Peace is a strength. Peace is a force. Oh, you're not listening to me. Peace is a force. Luke chapter 10 verse 5 tells us that when they came, the disciples were sent out 2 by 2 by Jesus. They went into the villages. When they came to a house, before they entered that house, they did what? Spoke peace to that house. Listen what it says. The Amplified Bible says, if you've got to amplify it, or you just want to write it down, it says this, that peace is a removal of all the distresses that result from sin. Think about that for a second. It's a removal of all the distresses that result from sin. You know what the unhappiness in your home is? A distress as a result from sin. You've ever visited somebody and they've just had a fight? Knock on the door. The atmosphere is thick. They can smile like they want, but you know, man, this is not good. If you understood peace, you could speak it to that house before you arrived. The power of peace would find a person of peace and would remove the distresses that result from sin in that house. It would change the atmosphere. Peace is a force. Peace is a strength. It travels through the air. It goes towards where you aim it. Peace to you. Peace to your homes. It's traveling to your homes. It's going. Because if there's not a person of peace there, you know what it's going to do? It's going to come back to me. Peace is a force. The God of peace is the God of war. And God, the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. Shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace is involved in war. You can't go to war without peace. You can't go to war without peace. You have to have that operating system control you. See, the peace of the world looks like this. I get up, I feel down, I look down. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I don't laugh easy. I'm not my normal self. Man, everything goes fantastically. I get a check rebate in the post. Man, I am like bubbling. It's bubbling. You know what I mean? I'm like the best Christian you've ever seen again. That's the peace of this world. The peace of the Lord, no matter what comes at you. Jesus was in the boat, Mark chapter 4. He's in the boat with the disciples. He says, we're going to the other side. It's really important to know when Jesus says that something's going to happen, it's going to happen. All they had to go on is what he said. We're going to the other side. I'm taking you into your ministry. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you. All you've got is what he said. So he says to them, we're going to the other side. Man, they get a little way out and there's a squall. There's a storm that starts. You know the story, man. It's wonderful when the water's outside the boat. It's not cool when the water's in the boat. And it says the boat was filling up with water. These fishermen knew what the situation was. They knew this boat is going down. They run downstairs, they wake him up, they say, don't you care? We're going to drown. He gets up, guess what his first word is? Peace. Peace. Be still. Or be muzzled. Or in colloquial language, shut up. Peace. Keep quiet. And immediately the storm stopped and they were at the other side. You know what that tells me? That tells me when we release peace, peace is an operation. The miraculous is a reality. The miraculous does not happen without an environment of peace. When you're in your storm, when you're in your battle, you find you cannot move at the level you want to. You've got to be in a place where you're absolutely in his peace. He turns to them. Oh, this freaks me out. He says, oh, you of little faith. Now, he's not going to pull them up if there wasn't a reason for that. And by the way, I like it that Jesus pulls people up. We've got leadership in the church today that are too scared to pull anybody up. Real love, Pete, real love, is I look at you and I see something's going to cause you to crash. And I talk to you, say, don't do that, Peter. Why did you do that? It's going to cause you trouble. If we do not correct people we love, that's not love. That's not love. The church needs to get a bit stronger. Don't leave church because the pastor picked on me. I know he is preaching at me. Pastor doesn't even know your name. Thank God I'm not a pastor. Please say amen. I've been around too long for this stuff. I can't take it anymore. I'd rather look at you in the face and say, what are you doing? You're going to wreck your life. If you carry on like us, what's wrong with you? I mean, I'll say it nicely, but we've got to say it. Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. What's wrong with you guys? I went to sleep thinking you'll handle this. You didn't handle it. Why? Because you're looking. It's what you look at. The circumstances are talking to you. You're hearing things. We are going down. You've heard that. But I told you we're going to the other side. That's where peace comes from. Peace comes from knowing what God promises you. Peace comes from knowing that when God says something, it's not a weak little statement. It is the power to create. It's the power to keep. His word will hold me. When all hell breaks loose against my life, his word will keep me. I I don't revert to human methods. I don't revert to natural methods. I've got to stick to the realm of the Spirit. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. I've learned to keep your word. I've learned to make it central to my life. So Jesus says to him, oh, you of little faith. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? You know I told you we're going to the other side. You should have used your own authority to release peace to this, and it would have changed. You should have done that. You shouldn't have left it to me. Sarah and I, beginning of September, did an apostolic adventure. The apostolic adventure we did was in Thailand, a place called Phuket. We did the apostolic adventure late because there were elections in Thailand, and if we did it earlier, there could have been trouble out of the elections. We didn't want people compromised. So we decided we're going to do it. We agreed together we're going to do it in September. I get on the internet. You know what the internet says? If you're going to go to Phuket, whatever you do, don't go in September. It's the worst month. It rains every day. We can't afford to have rain every day. The nature of what I do cannot have a rain. So, Lord, Sarah and I agree that as we drive into Phuket, rain stops. When I finish teaching, it can start again. Now you see, we smile because we don't live like this. The first thing that God gave man when he created him was what? Dominion. We have dominion. You see, we don't even know this. We have dominion in the purposes of God. When God tells us to do something, within that environment, we have dominion. So we make this statement. I do not lie to you. We drove into Phuket. The rain stopped as we drove in. Saturday afternoon, I said, amen. That was Friday. We drove in Saturday. I said, amen, end of course. Wind started, the trees were bending like this, the coconut trees. Man, and then the rain came. I made a mistake. I still had to get home. I didn't plan it too well. Come Sunday night, we're leaving on Monday because I'm catching my flight over here on Tuesday. By the way, I've been here 3 months. It's a long time to be away from home. So trust me, I am not sad to leave you. Love you, but I'm not sad to leave you. So, so Monday morning, we wake up 6 o'clock. We're just trusting. It's God's going to change us. No way, man. Weather report says, whatever you do, do not drive from the south to the north, which is where we are in the south. Because the roads are going to be flooded. It's going to be problems. I looked at Sarah, I said, have you got the faith? She said, I have. So we held hands, looked at each other's face, and we just declared, in the name of Jesus, the clouds will move backwards and outwards as we travel. We had her sister with us, who's Thai. She didn't understand what we prayed. 5 hours into the journey, she said, Sarah, do you know what's happening? As we're driving, the clouds are going backwards and they're going sideways. Wow, we're lucky. Of course we're not lucky. That's using dominion. That's using authority. That's using power. That's speaking. You see, we live in a world where we don't even think this stuff anymore. We accept. We've got this Doris Day theology. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. Rubbish. Rubbish. You do not have to accept the stuff that comes and pushes your home around. You don't have to take the stuff that hassles your finances. You don't have to. When money comes in, you cover that stuff. You say, Satan, you don't touch this. You don't touch this. We have dominion. If you don't use it, nothing changes. I'm not talking about, you know, I wake up in the morning and it's winter and I'm asking for a day of 70 degrees because I just want to go and enjoy my... I'm not talking about that. You know, I'm not talking about stupid Christianity. I'm talking about within the purposes of God. You and I should learn. We have an authority, a dominion. Jesus showed us that. And that is within the context of peace. When you're at peace, when you're panicking, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't panic about your marriage. You can't panic about your finances. You can't panic about your kids. It's out of a place of peace. You can't panic about what the doctor said. It's out of a place of peace. You've got to learn to be absolutely settled. You don't change. You keep your peace. I'll show you how to keep your peace in a second. It's so good to see your faces. I tell you, just one after the other of you, just such good friends for so long. God bless you, man. Thanks for coming out tonight. I really hope the weather doesn't change after I leave. I've had such wonderful weather. I'm going to say something quite hard now. So just fasten your seatbelt, because some of you might feel like I'm picking on you. And if you have this condition, yes, I am. Okay? I am coming at you because I want you to change. This peace of the world comes to us in the form of creating behavioral traits. In other words, I test when I'm a kid if I can get my way by screaming, then I scream. If I stamp my little feet, mommy and daddy get panicky, I record that. This is good. Next time you want something, stamp your little feet. Kids are conditioning us, by the way, if we're not awake. My kids were never allowed to condition me. I conditioned them. You know the story. I've taught you before. The rod of correction to the seat of learning. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Isn't this good? Andrew Root will tell you what an amazing golf player I am. I've forgotten everything you taught me, by the way. Anyway, it's a funny way that you've got to hold your fingers. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from them. Kids should get conditioned to have the correct attitude, because they will go to work one day and some customer is upsetting them and they just have to smile and say, "Thank you, sir," no matter what they feel inside. But they come home. Now I can be me. And there are people that have got such bad behavioral traits because they've never known anything about the peace of God. They live out of the peace of this world. They've tried to control their world by their outbursts or by their behavior or by their attitudes. We were in the Chinese embassy in Chicago last trip, Sarah and I. You have to get a visa to go into Shanghai, even just to land at the airport. So we had to go in and get the visas, and we were sitting in this little room, and probably about 20, 30 people. You got to take your ticket, wait for your turn, and then they call you. So we're waiting. In walks a woman. She doesn't take a ticket. She walks straight up to the counter. She just guns the woman behind the counter. That's it. She rips her to pieces. She's finished ripping her to pieces. This woman just gets up. She moves to another counter. So she follows her. Goes mad. I mean, she's screaming at the top of her voice. Everybody in the room is like, so this woman retreats to the back room. So now a Chinese guy gets up. He comes to her and he goes, "Who So she takes one look at him and she goes, tears him apart, he goes and sits down. Out comes the supervisor. She walks up to the supervisor. Finish. Supervisor just retreats. Now it's time for the security guard to get up. 6'6". He goes and sits down. I couldn't believe it. I thought this problem is so simple. But I'm in America, so what can I do? You know, Africa, you can do it. You can't do it in America. Just catch her by the top of the pants and walk her. Open the lift, put her in, down, bye-bye. I mean, it's simple, isn't it? It's not complicated. That woman had learned to control her world. She gets what she wants and she will back off for nobody. This is where it gets a bit rough. I want to tell you, if you've lost friends, if you've lost family, and you are who I'm describing, it's not that they leave you because they don't love you. They leave you because they can't stand your atmosphere. You carry an atmosphere. I carry an atmosphere. To be in my atmosphere, you will feel certain things. For me to be in your atmosphere, I will feel things. And many of us have created an atmosphere around us, which others are scared will manifest. So too scared to tell the story. That's why wives lie and husbands lie. Because they don't want the atmosphere to manifest. Because we live out of the peace of this world. We don't live out of the peace of God. I'm telling you, we've got to come to a place where our people, we can hear bad news, we can hear good news. We do not react, we respond. I don't just bam, nail you. I stop, I think of what the word says, and I respond out of the word. When you have this operating system of peace, you are not forced to react. You're in a position where you can just listen and respond. No matter what the news is, no matter how tough it is to hear. I've just been in Stourbridge, and I saw where three tornadoes came right through the bottom of Stourbridge. Absolutely destroyed a day's in. I wonder what that owner felt like. The place is obliterated. I wonder what it's like to wake up in the morning, your whole house is destroyed. One day I woke up early in the morning. I went through to get water or something. I don't know what it was. And I walked into my lounge and there was water on the carpet. Like, what is that? And a strange smell in the house, like smoke. I walk into the kitchen and I try and switch on the light. There's no light. It's not working. So I step into the kitchen. I just go in water. So I go over to where the washing machine is and I lean on the washing machine because I can feel there's water squirting. I lean on, there's no washing machine. So I head out and I go and get a torch. I come in, the whole kitchen is burnt down. Totally burnt. In the fire, it burnt a hole in one of the hoses, which started to squirt and spray very fine and eventually put the fire out. All the smoke from the fire would have killed the whole family. But what had happened is a week or so before, I was fixing something in the roof and I tramped wrong and I tramped through the roof. So my leg was dangling above my kid who was on the phone. I mean, you know, I went right up to here, just like my leg. big hole. It's like, oh, well, better fix that. Didn't fix it for a week. The smoke funneled straight out of that. It went up to my children's doors. All of them were black. Didn't touch my kids. The fire chief walked in and he walked up to me and he said, "Who are you?" So I said, "I'm Jan Nel." I mean, what a stupid question. Now he said, "Who are you?" He said, "There is something about you, sir, because I want to tell you something. I've been in this job forever, and I have never seen a miracle like this." He said, "Let me tell you what I'm talking about. That spray was exactly the right temperature. If water was sprayed, it would have blown the windows out of your room. That's how hot it was." He said, "It just sprayed correctly to put out the fire and to cool it." He said, "Look at the wood here. It was going to go into your roof. It would have burnt this cupboard and then it would have gone in the roof. And once it's in the roof, you're finished." He said, "It stopped short of the cupboard." He said, "And what's more, it should have killed the kids. But you got a hole in the roof and it went out the hole." He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a man of God." He said, "I can see that." He said, "I'll tell you today, God protected you." This is my point. When I walked into the kitchen and I fell into the washing machine, I started to laugh. It was like, what has happened here? This is like, I mean, I don't encourage you to laugh at disasters, but you know what I mean? Inside me, there was this absolute, it's going to be okay. I don't have to panic. It destroyed my lounge suite. It destroyed all our curtains. I pulled on the curtain and it just came apart like candy floss. It was unbelievable. I have never seen such a disaster. The long and the short of it is insurance rebuilt my whole house, rebuilt the kitchen to what we wanted it to be, replaced all the furniture with brand new furniture, hi-fi, CDs, everything replaced, thousands and thousands of dollars given back to us. We had our life. The disaster caused us to be better off than we were before the disaster. God blessed us so that we had the best of everything. I'm trying to say that the miraculous comes out of a place of peace. When you start to panic, you start to shout and scream and, you know, fight each other because what did you do? Why did you let this happen? Whatever. You've lost it. But out of a place of peace, you get to the other side. Out of a place of peace, when the storm comes to your life, the Prince of Peace is sleeping inside your boat. He's in your boat. You don't have to fear about anything. You don't have to be concerned about tomorrow. You don't have to be concerned about people. You don't have to be concerned about governments. You listen to me. You listen to me. God is with you. God is with you. He's given you his peace because he knows storms will come. He knows tough times will come. And he knows that if you and I live out of peace, we will always see the miraculous. We will always see God do supply for us in a way that is absolutely impossible in the natural. It's out of a place of panic. It's out of a place of doubt. It's out of a place of fear that he has to say, "Oh, you of little faith, didn't you know I will get you to the other side? Use your authority. Speak up. Call those things which are not." We're not natural people. We're supernatural people. I close with this. You've got to keep, I told you, I want to show you how to keep your peace. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Number one, keep happy. Keep happy. I keep saying it wherever I go. Christians so often look like they've been baptized in vinegar. They always look so incredibly unhappy. Let them see your teeth. Smile. Smile. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. There's got to be this, this joy, man. God's with me. Life's a journey. God's going to be with me throughout the whole thing. No matter what I face, He's with me. Number two, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety will rob your peace, I'm telling you now. Stop being anxious. Don't allow anxiety to control your life. Don't think the thing through. Declare the word. Casting your cares upon Him because He cares for you. I'm telling you the formula to keep your peace. Make sure that in everything, by prayer and supplication, you make your requests known to God. You've got to be in a place of prayer. You need to be declaring to things. You need to be speaking to things. And fourthly, make sure you're thankful. Make sure you're thankful. I was with a pastor the other day. He said he took a whole team of his young people on a training camp to another part of the country. He paid for everything. He paid for hotels. He paid for everything for them. They came back, and everyone to the person climbed out the van and never even said thank you. You have no idea how powerful a thankful attitude is. Jesus had 10 lepers come to Him. 9 walked away and never came back. 1 came back and said, thank you. He said, weren't there 10? You see, it's easy to ask God for something. It's easy to come to God for something. But when He gives it to you, what do you do? What does your thanks look like as opposed to your begging and asking? Thanks, Lord. It's got to be bigger than that. Thankfulness manifests not just in words. The guy made the effort. He comes back. He said, Lord, I want to thank you. He says, your faith has made you whole. I believe this is what it meant. It now wasn't just the outside that was healed. God did a full recovery job on him. Just because he was thankful. Folk, if you will do those 4 things, the Bible says, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, this mad peace, will mount cavalry and ride across your heart and your mind, protecting it. It'll keep you in the peace of God. It'll keep you in the peace of God. So that no matter what comes, no matter what arrives in the post, no matter what phone call comes, you've got His peace. There was a missionary that sent his family across the sea ahead of him, his wife and his kids. And across, halfway across, for some reason, the boat sank. Everyone was lost. He lost his whole family. He himself took the journey, and when he got near where the incident took place, he took a piece of paper and he wrote a song. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever the cost, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. No matter what any of us do, no matter how we battle, no matter what we go through, we've got to come to the place where we allow God to deal with your darkest storms, because He told you, you are going to the other side. You are going to the other side. You are going to make it to the other side. You are going to do well. The miraculous is going to happen while you're traveling. You are going into a place of tremendous manifestation of the power of God. They got to the other side, and the man who had legion was delivered. It was a demonic attack to stop them getting where the man was bound. When you get through your storm, victory and deliverance is on the other side. Give the Lord a hand. Bless him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ask you a question. How many of you have intentionally plugged in the peace of God into your life? Or have you been like me? I was never taught that it was a gift. Nobody ever told me that Jesus gave me something I could plug in and it couldn't control my life. Tonight, if you don't know what the peace of God is like, you've just, you know, made it by the skin of your teeth. I want to tell you there's a better way. I want to tell you there's a place where you can have a supernatural impartation that comes from the Prince of Peace himself. If you need that, if you know that you've never plugged it in, tonight you want to do it. You want to receive what he's got. Because in the kingdom we receive. We receive his deliverance. We receive healing. We receive his peace. If you've never plugged it in, then stand tonight. And let's do something right now and pray for God to release it upon your life. You haven't failed if you stand. You just never heard. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been invited to the party, guys. There's a big present for you. His peace. His peace. You don't have to fear. You don't have to panic. You don't have to be concerned anymore. From today, no matter what comes to you and says you're going down, rejoice. Don't be anxious. Give it to him. And just say, thank you for the victory, Lord. And then tell that thing that it's going to break in the midst of his power. It's going to leave. In the name of Jesus, I release now to each one of you. Put your hand on your hearts. I release to each one of you a supernatural revelation of the peace of God for yourself. That you don't have to live life out of panic and rush and upset and concern, but you can absolutely step each day saying, Father, I know you're in my boat. Lord Jesus, I know you're watching me. I know you're guiding me. You're keeping me. Thank you, Lord. Release the peace right now. Receive it. Receive it. You know tonight you've received peace. Don't go home and panic and get upset and uptight and just go home in the peace of God. That's why we say peace to you. Peace to you. Now, if you're a person that really struggles with your emotion, you've controlled life with your emotion. I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want you tonight to confess it, repent from it, and determine you're not going to control any longer. You're going to let God do it. In the name of Jesus, be free from the need to control your environment and your circumstances. I pray for the atmosphere of peace to go with you wherever you go, to be with you whatever you hear, to stay with you no matter what you're battling with. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. Now let's allow that peace like a river just to come over the meeting as they worship with us. Thank you, Lord.
So turn your eyes.
will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Oh, come on, let's sing that again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Come on, lift it up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Come on, stand, lift up your hands with us. Let's sing.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things
just lift up your face to Jesus, and let's just begin to minister to the Lord in the Spirit right now. Shale, ale, ale. Come on, lift up. Sing with the tongue of men and of angels. Just lift up a new song to Him. Shale, ale, 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 ale. Shote, arara, baba, shiti, arara, baba, shiti. Come on, church, just minister to the Lord right now. Lift up your face. Just minister to Him right now. Shere ara la ba shiti ara ra 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 ba 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 shiti ara la. Shere ara la 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 la. Shere ara la 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 la. We worship You, 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 O Lord, we worship You. We love You, we love You, we love You, we love You, we love You. Shelelele ala lele ala la la la. Shetende ara ra ra ra. Thank You, Jesus. How many of you just feel the peace of the Lord resting on you? How many of you feel just physically lighter than when you came in? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Go ahead, give the Lord a praise in this place. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. There's one more act of worship that we want to do this evening, and that's to share in a love offering for our dear friend. Yanni's leaving early in the morning tomorrow, headed back to Thailand to be with his family. And in just a moment, we're going to take the offering, my favorite way to take it. There's a principle. I'm wondering if Uncle Brian, maybe the ushers could come and just bring some offering envelopes for folks that might need one. But listen to me for 1 minute. There's a principle in the kingdom of heaven. There's a principle of reciprocity in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, He instructed them to receive hospitality first, and then to release the kingdom. And when we make a deposit of hospitality, when we make a deposit of love, when we make a deposit of financial support into the ministry of someone who is carrying the kingdom of heaven with them, when we make that deposit of hospitality and love in them, they make a deposit of what they're carrying into us. And Yanni's already come and he's made a deposit in us this evening through the ministry of the word. How many of you would like to just receive a little more deposit of what he's carrying in him? And so this is the way we're going to receive the offering. In just one moment, I'm going to ask Yanni if he'll come stand here. And I want to ask you to come out of your seat and bring your offering. We're going to lay it at his feet. And I want you to just touch him. I want you to just give him a fist bump. I just want you to give him a high five. Give him a quick hug. Now, everybody, listen. Do not tell him your life story, all right? He cares about your life story, but he has a plane to catch.